back to the How to Podcast series. I have a guest from across the pond from me. I'm here in Canada, and Debbie Williams is with me, and we're going to be talking about podcasting. My co-host today here on the How to Podcast series, Debbie, welcome. Nice to have you here.
Nice to be here. Thank you for inviting me.
This is really exciting. Okay, Debbie, tell everybody where you are in this great big world of ours.
So I am in London in the UK. That's where I was born and raised. And what I do, I have my own podcast, which I started in 2020 during lockdown. I, like many people, found excuse after excuse not to start a podcast. And my daughter put an end to my excuses by buying me a microphone for my birthday. And it was lockdown, so what else was I going to do? And I started that journey of podcasting.
Well, there you go. And okay, so what is one of the things you've learned the most from having a podcast right out the gate that just is something you learned about yourself that you're like, wow, I can do this?
I think for me, it's the little things. When I started, I thought, you know, I've got loads of materials. I've got loads of things that I can talk about. I do public speaking anyway, and I just thought, I've done loads of speeches. I can just pick up any one of them and talk about anything. And when I look back, I started my podcast, and when I look back, I thought, I've hardly got anything. And I basically had to think of, because my first series was solo, me sharing my own personal stories. And I had to think of something to say each week. And I was being told off by my daughter, you need to be more organized. You need to think in advance what you're going to talk about. But I was releasing episodes every Sunday morning, and some weekends, some Friday nights, even Saturdays, I'm like, what am I going to talk about? I meant to release an episode the next morning. And I think, and then suddenly I have this epiphany. Yes, I know what I'm going to speak about, and I record something, and that's what I'll do. The lesson learned is, yeah, I mean, if you can plan in advance, even just an outline structure of the things that you want to cover, then that will help you. Even another simple thing like speaking in the microphone, there's a big difference to my early episodes. I remember I was sat at my desk and I was like, yeah, looking sideways, mm-hmm. You know, the microphone in front of me. And I was like, oh, yeah, I meant to speak in the microphone. So it's little things like that, and just learning how to edit your episodes and just trusting yourself as well. Because I remember when I released my first episode, I felt very self-conscious. I was like, why did I befriend that person on Facebook and that person on Facebook? Now I'm going to be exposed. They're going to see that, you know, that I've got a podcast. And I went to bed the next morning. I woke up. I had 30 downloads from people I didn't talk to. And I was like, wow, that just happened overnight. And I thought, well, I may as well tell everyone about the podcast. And that's what I did. And everyone was really excited and very supportive as well.
Okay, so let's talk about your podcast and let's do a little plug because people are listening to a podcast right now. So what a perfect thing to do once we're done here talking to head straight over to your podcast and follow and share your podcast with everyone in their family and community. Talk about your podcast and what are we going to find when we get there?
So what you're going to find is real life, everyday stories that people want to share. My philosophy is that everyone has a story that somebody else wants to or needs to hear. And if one story affects one person in a positive way, then it was a story worth sharing. So these are standalone stories. I mentioned series one is me sharing my own personal stories. And series two was when I start to bring on guests to actually share their stories as well. Currently in season four. And again, some amazing guests. If I include people like Julian Haslan, where she shares her story, which is called A Voice Out of Poverty, for example, where she grew up in the slums of India and she shares her story of living in India and how she came out of that and eventually ended up working for Bank of America, for example. And now she's writing a book. She also heads a number of charities as her way of giving back and helping those other people who are in a similar situation to what she was when she was younger. So there's lots of different stories that people have shared on my podcast. And it's just to encourage people just to activate their voices, just to help them share their stories as well. Every story is relevant. There's no such thing as an irrelevant story, for example. And my philosophy is, just sharing one story if it helps. The last episode was someone who shared her story because when she was growing up, she was so shy that she was fearful when it came to talking and communicating with others. And she shares her journey of coming out of that shyness, for example. Wow. So it's just stories to actually help us think slightly differently, to actually challenge our everyday understanding, to make us laugh, to make us cry. Yeah. And just to realize that, that there are other stories, that may resonate with you. And you think, okay, I thought I was the only person going through this. Or just, hearing about people's triumphs over adversity as well. So, that's what they are. Each episode, they're short, they're no more than 20 minutes long. A lot of my audience and listeners prefer shorter episodes, but they're powerful episodes.
Nice. And okay, so having a podcast means it opens the door for you to have conversations with people you might not normally meet, right? How does that feel when you reach out to somebody and you say, hi, would you like to come on my podcast? And they say yes. And you're like, I can't believe they're coming on my show. Is that a great feeling to have?
No, it is a great feeling. But I think it's really important when you ask someone to be a guest on your show, why are you asking them to be a guest on your show?
Right.
Because I think for me, when I've approached someone, it's because they've either said something or shared something thing that really resonates. And then I might reach out and say, that really resonated, please would you be a guest on my show so you can share your story, this is why it resonated with me. And I think that if you're going to invite a guest on your show, don't just invite them for invite's sake. Like, what is the purpose? What is it about them that you like about, or I know that resonates with you or will resonate with your audience and your listeners? And I think that's a really important approach. I think you have to be clear about what your podcast is about and what you're trying to achieve. And will the guests that you invite add value to that? And for me, because it is about sharing stories, some stories relate more than others, but each story is relevant. But being clear, I speak to everyone beforehand. because when I do my recordings, it's just an audio recording and I want them to see the face that's actually talking, that they're talking to. And so I talk to everyone beforehand, just have a general conversation, agree what we're going to talk about and just humanize the experience. And I think that's really important. So when you do the actual interview, you've humanized it. You've really got that connection and it helps with that conversation and that flow as well.
Excellent. I love it. Beautiful. Okay. So in your background, we talked about this before we had record today. You have a background with Toastmasters, and I'm very curious about Toastmasters and maybe some of the lessons you've learned there in all the years you've been doing this that you've been able to pull into your podcast to help you to become a better podcaster. Let's talk about Toastmasters for a new podcaster. What's the benefit?
Well, I joined Toastmasters in May 2017. And the reason I joined, I went to a work conference. I was working for a news agency at the time. And all the news broadcasters and agencies from across the world were in this one space. And this woman came on stage to try and persuade and influence all these news media that they should not glamorize terrorists but call them and treat them as criminals. And her speech was so impactful and so powerful that I felt, that's the next stage up for me. But what am I going to do in order to prepare for that? Because I was already working in a business and commercial world, happy to present in front of in front of customers and clients, but talking in front of an auditorium of thousands of people, I wasn't ready for that. And I wanted to know, what can I do to actually prepare? So I just looked up public speaking, went to my local Toastmasters club, sat right at the back, near the exit, mm-hmm. with my bum half off the seat, thinking if this is slightly weird, then I can just like quickly go. But someone gave a speech, a testimonial that resonated, and I thought, okay, I'm in the right place.
Nice.
And whilst I was there, it's not just a case of you finding your voice, but you're also helping others to find their voice as well. You're learning how to speak in a variety of different scenarios and situations. I went up the leadership path. So, you know, within a year of me being there, I was vice president of membership of the club. And then the following year, I was president of the club. And then a year after, I was area director looking after 4 clubs. And then the year after that, I was division director looking after 24 clubs. Wow. And then I was also conference director as well. And last year, I was voted in as club growth director, which is looking after all the new clubs within the district. And we're currently at 160 clubs, for example. And so I've grown with the organization as I've gone along, but it's given me the opportunity to network. It's given me the opportunity to speak in a variety of different scenarios, for example, whether it's giving motivational speeches, leadership speeches, giving training, for example, speaking to people in my home club and saying, well, this is my journey. And being mentors for new people who new members who join the club, for example. And I think for me, what it's done is given me the confidence to actually start a podcast. Hmm. It's given me the confidence to interview people as well, for example, on my podcast. And it's given me also the ability to develop my listening skills as well. Because there's lots of different roles within a Toastmasters meeting. For example, a timekeeper is one of them. If you're a timekeeper for the day, you're keeping the meeting to time and you have to record the timings for every speaker and you're harnessing your listening skills. And it also, if you're given evaluations on other speakers who have just spoken, you have to really listen to their speech, listen to what they did well, suggestions for improvements, even, you know, where they can take that speech next, whether it's, you know, that speech was so good, I want to hear it as a TED talk. I want to hear it, you know, in whatever forum. You know, you could be an advocate for whatever cause that is dear to their heart, for example. And so for me, it's fostered, I say, a deep innate passion for public speaking. And it's developed in lots of different ways, but, you know, developing and listening skills, which has helped me to listen to guests and what they're saying, to be able to respond to something that they just said, you know, to ask a question on that, to pick up on it, rather than having a list of questions that you're going to ask people throughout an interview. So like, really listen to what they're saying and what bits can you pick up on? And, you know, and to further delve into as well, being able to confidently speak and not worry so much about the filler words. And yes, we still have that. But I remember when I first started Toastmasters, I was the queen of filler words. They'll be like, the person with the most filler words is Debbie with 36 filler words. I'm like, yeah.
Yay. Tell her what she's won. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But now I'm so conscious of it that I try not to use it. When I think about it, I use it less. But there are sometimes, you know, I'm not saying you eliminate it completely, but when you think about it, you know, those filler words, particularly when you're interviewing, it's something that doesn't come out as frequently, as often, as if from someone who hasn't developed on that side of things.
Okay. Yeah. So for a new person going to their very first Toastmasters this week, just talk about that a little bit more, about that first meeting. My perception would be, as somebody who has not been through Toastmasters, that this is a room full of professional speakers. They've all been doing this for a long time. And I'm coming in. I've never been on stage. I've never stood up and talked in front of a group. I'm completely intimidated. I feel like an imposter. I don't even know if this is for me. And like you, sitting in the back of the room waiting to leave in any second, like a scared animal, just like, I gotta get out of here. So talk to the person that's thinking about going to something like Toastmasters. And what does that first meeting really feel like for a new person coming through the door? Kind of help us understand a little more.
Yeah, so for a new person walking through the door, and what you described was probably exactly how I felt going for the first time.
Okay.
And for a new person walking through the door, to actually having someone greet you with a smile to make you feel at home. They may invite you to not sit right at the back of the room, although with me, I found some excuse too. But I just think that when you see there are people of different and mixed abilities at meetings, and it's finding that person or a group of people. And that's the thing. It's good to speak to people when you get there, because you may share your story. This is why I'm here. And they'll be like, speak to so-and-so, because that is exactly that person's journey. And I think when you speak to someone whose story is similar to yours, and many Toastmasters start off in that exact same way. They've started from the exact same place where they've been new for the first time. Right. They've had this imposter syndrome. They felt they was going to walk into a room with lots of professional speakers. They're not. Everyone's different and mixed abilities. Some people may have only joined the week before, for example. But and then some people you may have heard them speak, and then someone says, "Yeah, that person joined 2 or 3 weeks ago," and you're thinking, wow, they did that in 2 or 3 weeks. That's really amazing. But everyone's journey is different and at a different pace. But I think you just have to be focused. What is it that you want to get out of joining any group? Specifically Toastmasters, when I joined, it was because I wanted to improve my public speaking skills. What I wasn't expecting was that I was going to get so much more out of that experience. And you don't really realize what's available, the additional training that you're exposed to for the same price as your membership. You don't realize the different people you're going to meet. Your network immediately widens, for example. And there's so many different opportunities to get involved as much or as little as you want. But for me, it's really had an impact on my career, on my life in general. I get invited to speak at a variety of different events that, whereas many years ago, I thought, well, that's not me, that's for somebody else. But I think the opportunities that has presented itself since joining Toastmasters has been life-changing for me personally. It's allowed me to comfortably find my voice. It's really pushed me outside of my comfort zone. And I live by the philosophy that if it doesn't change you, if it doesn't challenge you, it really doesn't change you. And I tell everyone, I've got a new mentee yesterday. And I said to her, if during this process you feel really uncomfortable, then you're doing the right thing. Because it's part of that transformation that someone goes through. But knowing that there's someone there to support you. And I think that's the one thing as well that I like about Toastmasters. When you're in the room at your club meeting, everyone there is your cheerleader. There isn't anyone who wants you to fail. And I think when you're going on stage doing your first speech, you have to remember that everyone in that room wants you to be successful. It doesn't matter if you fluff your lines. It doesn't matter if you've forgotten what you wanted to say. The fact is, you got up there in the first place.
Yeah.
And whatever you do manage to achieve, then everyone will be there supporting you. They'll be giving you positive feedback. Oh, try this next time. This might help you. But what you did well was X, Y, and Z. And, you know, feedback is the food of kings, and the feedback that you get, I mean, the feedback provided in meeting isn't just for the speaker, it's for everyone. I remember when I went along and hearing others do their speeches, and they were getting this amazing feedback. And I was writing it down, you know, like, you didn't use the stage very well, you could use the stage better. Or what you did well was using the power of three. I love the grammar that you use. So you pick up all these tips as you go along, thinking, didn't think of that. I didn't think of this. And so when it's your turn to speak, you've already got these pointers. And so you use that for your own speech. You go on the stage and you get a different sort of feedback, and you're thinking, wow.
Yeah. Right.
So that's what's really helped me.
And there's a lot of parallels there to podcasting, in the sense where, you know, you need to try, you need to get out there and do it, and then take feedback and grow. And a lot of parallels to what you've talked about in Toastmasters really translates well to a podcaster as well. So
exactly.
Toastmasters would be a great starting point for somebody who is early days of thinking having a podcast, nervous about getting their voice into the world. Toastmasters seems like a great beginning step to getting comfortable speaking in public.
Definitely. And it was certainly a very good step for myself. And I also believe that, you know, when you're deciding to do a podcast, like myself, I came up with excuse after excuse. I did a speech at my local Toastmasters club about how to start a podcast. I just did the research and I thought I'd do a speech about it. And everyone thought, oh my gosh, that was so good. You're an expert. I'm like, no, I'm not an expert. But you did the speech. You're an expert. When are you going to start this podcast? I'm like, I'm not an expert. I'm not going to start a podcast just yet. But you got to start a podcast. So I had two people badgering me. And then my brother also jumped on the bandwagon. So three people in the end. When are you going to start? When are you going to start? And then I was like, I'll start it in a few months' time. I'll start it. I haven't got time. I'll start it next year. Oh, I'll start it whenever. And then it was like, but Debbie, all these excuses, you know, I'm going to be on your case now. And I'm like, okay. And then I bought myself a microphone under duress. It wasn't compatible with my Mac. And I was like, it's not compatible. Another excuse.
Oh, well.
And then, and then my daughter, bought me a microphone that was compatible. I'd run out of excuses, and I just thought, okay, I may as well just start it now. And that's literally how it all began. And I think it's so easy to find those excuses not to start.
Yeah.
That procrastination. And even we fear being judged by others.
Right.
About whatever we put out there. And it's that fear of judgment. It's that fear of, I don't know, starting something new and being different.
Right.
And I think we should embrace being different. We should embrace starting something new. We should really embrace having our own platform where we can be our authentic self. And I think that's really important.
So you're modeling, Debbie, telling your story, sharing your voice within your podcast, in Toastmasters. Everything you are is all about the story and the fact that we all have a story to tell. So you're modeling this by having a podcast around that theme. And again, all the things you're doing to help people find their voice through Toastmasters, it is, I can see this thread that weaves its way through all the things that you do. And I just love that. Talk a little bit about the motivation factor to keep going after you get episode one out the door and people start listening and you're like, wow, someone's listening to my show. You're coming up on like 100 episodes in your podcast, which is glorious to think that's coming soon. What's a tip for people listening as a new podcaster? They've got a few episodes out, but now they're struggling with the motivation to continue. they have something great, but they just need a little push, a little gentle reminder about how to be motivated. What would you say?
The first tip is this. Don't get hooked on the stats.
Oh, good.
Don't be thinking, oh, but I've only got a few downloads and I want to monetize. You've only released one or two episodes. I want to monetize. I've hardly got any stats or, forget all that. Just forget it completely. The main thing you want to focus on is the actual content, because you want to, whatever you start off with is going to be different 10, 20 episodes down the line, because you're also learning and growing at the same time. And so don't get obsessed with how many downloads have I got today. It's hard, because at one stage, even I was doing, I was waking up, checking my phone, how many downloads have I got? But I think having people around you to keep you grounded, and for me, that was my brother who kept reminding me, Debbie, focus on the content, because I was listening to podcasts before I started one. What is it that I liked about the podcast that I listened to? And it was really literally, you're experimenting. You know what I mean? You don't have to sound like anybody else. What is it that you want to get out there? What is it that's unique about you? And for me, I quickly focused on the content and on the quality of the content that I was publishing on a weekly basis. And asking for feedback, for me, it was initially asking, friends that I knew to say, what do you think of this episode? I mean, I was asking to the point of annoyance, though. So you don't have to be annoying. But I think it's important to ask for feedback. What did you like about this episode? And people will tell you. If you ask them, people will tell you. Even like if you say at the end of a podcast episode, please leave feedback on my website. People will leave feedback. And I think the realization for me one day, I mean, I was releasing my episodes 7 a.m. on a Sunday morning. And I remember one Sunday, I decided to have a lie-in. I thought, I'm going to have a lie-in. And I thought, I'll release it at 9 instead. And I got like two or three text messages to say, where's the podcast? I was like, what? What? I was like, people are actually sitting waiting for the podcast to arrive. That was a shock for me.
Wow.
Because I just thought that was just me releasing it when it was convenient for myself. I didn't realize there were people waiting to listen to an episode. That was like a wow moment. And when you get that feedback, there's one episode, well, there's two episodes, but one in particular, Brian Skelton, where he shared how he was living with a stutter all his life, but at one stage it almost drove him to suicide.
Wow.
And to have someone share that story and the feedback that you get from that as well, to say, really resonated, it's really brave and so forth, but allowing listeners to have the opportunity to feedback to you. I do it via a contact form on my website, but if it's friends or family, then they'll contact me directly as well via text or WhatsApp. But I welcome that, and I also, at the end of my first series, I brought on a few friends onto that series just as a roundup series to say, okay, what did you think about? What was your favorite episode? But you've been able to have that forum where people can actually share their thoughts about the podcast, share what their favorite episodes are. At the end of the second series, I decided to have a friend interview me about the podcast.
Nice.
I was like, you can ask me anything you want. We don't need to discuss it in advance. And then literally the question, I burst out laughing because I thought she was going to ask me about world peace. So I was like, where are you going with this? But it was just fun for everyone to hear an authentic conversation from you about your podcast. How did you grow doing your podcast? How did you find your guests and, the stories that resonated, how did that make you feel? How did that resonate with you? you know, just give everyone an opportunity to actually hear that and to you know, just to help humanize that that podcast experience as well.
Right. Yeah, and I think that's the nice thing too. When you're hosting and you have guests, your listening audience hears a lot about the guest, not so much about your side.
Yeah.
And so being able to have somebody interview you, that's a great tip. I love that. Because then your listening audience gets to hear you and your thoughts, your feelings, what makes you tick. We don't get that through an interview podcast quite often for the host. So it's a great idea. That's a really good.
Yeah. And that's certainly what I'll be doing for my 100th episode, which is in 8 weeks' time. So I've already asked one of my podcast friends whether she'd interview me for that episode. And again, you know, I would just let her ask whatever questions that she wants to ask and just for her to give honest answers. I mean, certainly the last series that I'm currently working on, series four, every guest that I've had in this last series, I've had a deep personal connection with the message for each episode. And it's been nice to share that from my side. I mean, certainly the feedback that I've gotten, you know, people have shared how each episode has affected them. But it's an opportunity for me to say, well, how has it affected me as a host to the podcast, hearing these messages, and how has that resonated for me as well?
So when you did the first recording, episode one, how far away did episode 100 seem at that moment? And when you record episode 100, how short did it seem that it was episode one? Like how what feels like it's short distance from 100 looking backwards, but from one looking towards 100 seems like eternity. Talk about that feeling of finishing that first episode.
That's quite funny actually, because I'd previously worked in TV world, and you know, like a TV series with like six episodes in a series and what have you. In my head, I was like, TV world, yeah, six episodes, series one, take a break, another six episodes. And I was like, and then I read somewhere that the majority of podcasts don't make it past seven episodes.
Right.
Like, ooh, that, you know, just reading that, I was like, that's not going to be me. That's not going to be me.
Nice.
And in my head, I was like, just get past the seven episode curse. Get past the seven episode curse. So I went past the seven episode curse and I just kept going. And I just thought, you know what? Let me just, I was enjoying it. I just thought, you know, I actually enjoy producing a podcast and editing and getting it out there. I enjoyed the whole process, and I still do enjoy the whole process of putting a podcast together. 100 episodes seemed so far away. It wasn't even within my vision, to be perfectly honest.
Yeah.
At the time, it was like, just get past seven episodes. And then the very first series happened to be 31 episodes. And that's because I just thought, keep going past the seven. Well, all right, just keep going anyway.
I love it.
And got to Christmas, did a Christmas special, and it was like, all right, let me take a break now. And even doing the Christmas special, I used a younger member of my family, and we reenacted a Debbie version of the Christmas Carol. And that was just something fun to do. I just thought, let's just do something fun, really unexpected.
Yeah.
And yeah, and I think we that Christmas special is probably one of the most elaborate episodes that I've done, but we put it together in less than an hour, literally. And it's probably it's the second most popular episode that's been downloaded. And I just think that the focus should be on, am I enjoying this? Do I enjoy putting out a podcast episode? Has the fun gone, or is the fun still there? why am I doing this? And you have to remember your why. Why did you start the podcast?
Very important. Right from the beginning, right?
Yeah, right from the beginning. Why did you start this podcast? And I think you just need to remember your why. I was reminded very recently about a conversation that I had prior to me starting my podcast, when one of my friends asked me, you know, what is it outside of work, you know, outside of everything, what is it you really want to do? And I said to him, well, I want to help others find their voice and give people a forum to actually share their stories. How are you going to do that? I don't know. And then he called me recently and said, Debbie, you're doing it.
Nice.
And I was, yeah, he reminded me of that conversation. And he says, Debbie, you're doing it. You're doing what you set out to do.
That's a good feeling. Mm. Right. Okay. So the people that are with us in our conversation, Debbie, they're listening. They're new. They haven't started a podcast. They're thinking about Toastmaster. Good thought. Good idea. Getting behind the microphone and doing that first episode, if you could go back to yourself, episode one, now that you've got almost 100 episodes done, anything you would say to Debbie at episode one that she should have heard or been encouraged to hear during that recording of episode one, what would you say to her?
I would say, do it. Just do it anyway. To anyone recording for the first time, when you play back that first episode, you are not going to like your voice.
Hmm.
When I played out the first episode, I was like, oh my gosh, I sound like that. I'm inflicting that voice on the world. And I would just say, you know what? Just get used to it. Just get over it and get used to it. Your first episode doesn't have to be perfect. And there are some people who it varies. People go to everywhere to get advice, right, left, and the center. And, you know, some people say, oh no, have 3, 4, or 5 episodes prepared in advance before getting your first one out. Just get it out. The others will come. But I think if you're procrastinating about putting a podcast together, then the other excuses will follow as well. And then you end up not putting anything out at all. And I would say, if I had to go back to myself when I was making those excuses, I would just say, remember your passion, what it is that you want to do. Don't worry about being judged by other people. Just focus on you. Focus on being your authentic self.
And start. That's the big thing. And I heard somebody say something along the lines of, you don't have to be great to start a podcast, but you have to start a podcast to be great.
Yeah.
Right. Exactly. So you just have to start. And
you just have to start, and you just have to literally allow the process to happen. You will grow and you will develop. If you listen to my first episode compared to what I'm producing now, it's like night and day. But I love those episodes, because if ever I want to understand what transformation looks like or feels like or sounds like, I just have to listen to those first early episodes. Even the sound quality is different to what is coming out now. And I appreciate that journey of transformation, because it's made my podcast into what it is now.
And I can imagine sitting in on a Toastmasters meeting, and if everyone had the assumption that you had to be perfect before you go on stage, the stage would be empty most nights. No one's going up there, right?
Exactly. There was one lady who came in a couple of months ago, actually. And the first day that she went up, just to introduce herself, she was visibly shaken. And it's funny, because she went up to speak again recently, and her story was almost similar to mine. She was like, after that very first meeting, I found it so intimidating and I wanted to leave through the door myself. But everyone was so warm, everyone was so welcoming, and everyone mentored me through that whole process. And now I just feel so confident about continuing my journey as a speaker. But to be able to hear that from someone else and knowing that you have helped to contribute towards that person's transformation and change into where she wants to be, it's just as heartwarming for you as what it is for that person going through that journey.
Amazing. Now, Debbie, I know you have a busy week that you're living through this week, and you've made time to do this with me, and I'm so appreciative of your time to do this. I just want to encourage again, maybe there's a listener who's thinking about starting a podcast and technology is not their friend. They don't feel like they have the skills and talent to produce the podcast. They feel like they can record it. They know their content and they know their voice, but they're afraid of the technology side. Any thoughts from your point of view on how to tackle that technology piece?
Yes. Don't feel as though you have to go out and buy the latest this or the latest that, or you need this and you need that. I have the same laptop and the same microphone that I use in episode one that I'm going to be using for episode 100. And my microphone is not a fancy, expensive microphone at all. I use free software to edit my podcast. Don't feel as though you have to make yourself broke in order to have a podcast. If there's something that you don't understand in terms of, you know, the editing, you can find YouTube instructions. You can find how to do it, you know, and I would say don't let that be an obstacle. Do not let that be an obstacle, because if you really want to find a way, you can find a way of doing it, and you don't have to let it cost you the earth either.
Beautiful. And I think that's another thing that people put up as a roadblock, as an obstacle, is I'm not good at technology, so I'm not going to start a podcast.
Yeah.
But to your podcast theme and to Toastmasters, they have a story that can change the world and help someone, save a life even. You talked about that, you know, your guest coming on and, you know, how close they got to not continuing living, right? So being able to share a story that impacts the world and helps somebody, maybe on a different continent, in a different part of the planet, you don't know who is going to hear your voice. And if technology is that thing that people put up and say, I can't do this because I'm not good at this, let's take that away, right? And thank you for sharing what you're doing. And let's encourage people to get their voice out there, because we need more voices. And I'm on a personal mission, Debbie, to encourage more women and people of minorities to get into podcasting and share their message, because myself, there's only a certain audience that I can reach, and there's a different audience that other people can reach and do it much better than I could ever do, because I haven't lived it, haven't come from there. And to hear someone who thinks like me, talks like me, looks like me, and comes from an area of the world where I come from, to hear their voice on a podcast, that's what I'm waiting for, is I'm waiting for that voice to show up on my phone so that I can follow and connect with them. So again, if there's anything in your way that says, I can't do this because of fill in the blank, then let's erase that fill in the blank piece and let's get you started, because anyone can do this, and we need more people to represent their community and be out there and share their message. How do you feel about that?
I totally agree with you 100%.
Yeah.
I just feel as though I can only encourage someone to step out of your comfort zone. Allow others to hear your story. Give other people a forum to share their stories as well. Because this is us sharing our history, leaving a legacy behind for other people to listen to our experiences, our stories. And this is an opportunity for everyone to shine a light in their world.
I love it. Okay, Debbie, thank you again for making time to be on the How to Podcast series. I'm so happy to have you here. Would love to have you come back in the future. Keep me in mind because I've loved the conversation. I love talking about Toastmasters. That's a great avenue for people who are looking to find their voice. I love that. So I'm sure people are going to have questions about Toastmaster and they can reach out to you, I'm sure. But let's talk about your website. And again, let's plug the podcast before we close and send people to you. Again, thank you for doing this. Tell us about the website and again, your podcast.
So the website is DebbieWilliamsPodcast.com. And also, if you go on there, you'll see all the links to Apple and Spotify and all the other main podcast platforms. But Debbie Williams's podcast is the name of the podcast. I know it's such an original name, right?
There you go, right?
And literally just listen and enjoy. And by all means, please do also share your feedback on the website as well.
Perfect. Debbie, thank you so much for being part of the podcast. Again, I'm going to hold the door open for you. I'd love to have you back again in the future. If time permits, I would love to have you back. So thank you for making time for us, all of us listening. And I really appreciate you and you sharing your voice and your expertise today. Thank you so much.
Thank you very much.